doing double time? Seems to me you could use a little Anjali Mudra. She closed her eyes again. So? He was so what? He was so mysterious, I said, my voice muffled between my legs. He sounds hot. I raised my head. I remembered the coolness of his fingers and how my head stopped aching at his touch, the deep blue color of his eyes. He was not hot, Danny, I lied, my voice rising because she was so missing the point. He was weird, strange, creepy. I think he knows who I am. Worse than that, I think he knows who my father is. Danielle shook her head. No way. That's not possible. A wrinkle formed between her eyes. For the first time, concern registered. What are you going to do? You need to talk to the dean, get him reassigned. Let someone else show him around. On what grounds? Besides, I have to find out what he knows. I stood and began pacing the room again. And why he's here. He's already part of the program, which is weird. You mean that new class or whatever for you geeky medical types? I nodded. Are you going to tell your dad? And risk being moved to a different school? Not sure yet. I walked to my closet. Speaking of my dad, I almost forgot. He's in town. I pulled several dresses out and, with the wave of a dramatic hand, said, My father, the renowned Peter Roslin, is speaking at some fancy dinner. And you're going? I nodded. Skyped with him earlier. He didn't want me to come, but I argued that only stuffy doctors would be at this dinner. No one who was out to kidnap me for his money or for his top-secret medical advancements. I laughed. What are you going to do about Mr. Enigmatic? I wiggled a couple of dresses in front of Danielle. I'm going to throw one of these dresses on and go find him before I leave for dinner. Keep your enemies close and all that. Which one? Jack was nowhere to be found. He had simply disappeared after only one day of school. It was strange that classes started on a Friday, but it gave students, especially the new ones, a chance to get settled into the dorm before everything kicked into high gear on Monday. Maybe it was good I didn't find him. Instead, I could talk to Dad and see if he thought the new guy's behavior was strange. Or not. Because if he thought the behavior was risky, he'd move me. I stared at Dad now, delivering his keynote address to the Association of International Physicians and Research. All eyes focused on him. All except those belonging to the two men in suits, bodyguards, I guessed, on either side of the stage protecting him. Seemed like overkill to me. But what did I know? As long as they didn't keep me from speaking with him after his speech. The topic of stem cell research and reproductive cloning was morally divisive, but Dad had delivered it brilliantly. He had always kept me sheltered from his work, for good reason. He knew I hated the thought of him playing around with human life. Embryonic cloning is not out of the realm of possibilities any longer, he said in his speech. You could already know someone who has benefited from the advances in medicine from stem cell research. While Dad acknowledged the ethical concerns of human cloning, he touted the benefits that the technology would add to the treatment of many fatal and debilitating illnesses, or the growing of organs for transplants. And advances would continue to be made by the medical community, despite critics' best efforts to stall them. I had my questions and doubts, as did the critics, whose buzzing now spread throughout the room like an out-of-control forest fire. There's no way he's doing this research in the U.S., is there? A man one table over asked his neighbor.
I heard he's on the verge of cures for some pretty serious diseases, like cancer and Alzheimer's, said another.
Dad backed away from the podium and waved to the banquet hall full of doctors and other brilliant people. The speech was over. Finally. He and I could have that talk he promised when he called yesterday, after I begged him to let me come. Some of the crowd stood in ovation after the controversial address. The media flashed their cameras and started moving in on the guest of honor. Which meant it would take eons for him to weave through the crowd and make his way to me. A picture of distinction on the outside, designer suit, crisp white shirt with monogrammed cufflinks, no doubt. He stepped down from the stage. He shook the hands of...